They're barred from getting their own money. Some depositors in Lebanon have held up banks to reach their funds. It's happened as the country is experiencing its worst economic turmoil in decades. So how will the crisis play out socially and politically? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Hashim Ahalbarra. Lebanon's economic crisis is getting worse. Its parliament suspended budget talks on Friday after politicians walked out, calling them unconstitutional and chaotic. This will delay efforts to complete requirements set by the International Monetary Fund to ensure its assistance. It happened on the same day as a series of bank holdups. Desperate customers entered branches with weapons demanding the return of their savings deposits. Financial institutions had limited withdrawals to avoid collapse. Now they say they are worried for their workers' safety and will shut their doors for 3 days. Zeina Khoda has this report from Beirut.
A series of bank holdups across Lebanon in just a few hours. Depositors armed and demanding their money. They've been locked out of their accounts since the financial crisis began in late 2019. In most cases, they were able to get some of their funds.
Every time I go to the bank, I'm humiliated. They give me a little amount of my money as if I'm a beggar. I have money, but I live like a poor man. We can't buy medicine.
The raids on Friday followed two on Wednesday. Activists are promising more to come.
We have rights, and this is a revolution by depositors. We'll support any depositor who wants to claim his right. Banks won't be able to work until our trapped savings are released.
Politicians, many of them bankers, have failed to address the financial collapse. Instead, banks announced a 3-day closure next week over mounting security concerns.
Till now, they didn't found a committee to solve this situation. The banks are saying that they will close 3 days. I am telling them that at the 4th day when they will open, they will face hundreds of depositors at the branches.
So far, incidents have ended peacefully with those involved only briefly detained.
There's chaos across the Lebanese capital and fears the situation will only get worse if politicians fail to improve living conditions. The economy began to collapse 3 years ago, and many say they can no longer cope.
The currency has collapsed. Unemployment is rising. State services are almost non-existent.
The country is heading to hell. We are so tired. I had to leave my house because there is no electricity and water. I have no money. Everyone's asking for dollars, but I don't have dollars. Have mercy on us.
There is little holding the country together, and Lebanon's stability is at risk. Zeina Khoda, Al Jazeera, Beirut.
So how did Lebanon get into this state? The country has accumulated high debt since the end of the 1975-1990 civil war. In 2016, banks offered high interest rates for new deposits of dollars and Lebanese pounds. Foreign reserves climbed, but so did liabilities. Many foreign donors backed out, blaming sectarian fighting, a lack of governance, and a failure to deliver reforms. In 2019, people protested against corruption and government plans to tax WhatsApp calls. The World Bank says political graft has driven the country to near bankruptcy. In March 2020, Lebanon defaulted on its foreign debt. The country lost the dollars it relied on and banks closed their doors. Lebanon is also struggling to recover from the Beirut port explosion in 2020. Let's bring in our guests from Beirut, Walid Fakhreddin, media analyst and political activist. From Antibes, France, Hassan Ahmed Khalil, financial and economic expert. Also from Beirut, Sami Nader, director of the Levant Institute for Strategic Affairs. Thank you all for joining us. Walid, depositors are determined they want to withdraw their savings. The government is saying it cannot allow that to happen because they're just concerned about capital flight. Where does that leave Lebanon?
Actually, if you remember when we were discussing calling for a capital control in November 2019, nothing happened. We don't have a law. So unlawfully, the banks, and backed by a central bank, are holding the money deposits of the depositors. This leaves us with no other way but to try to get actually our money. Some will go to violence, some will go to protest. The whole bank holdups. It's not the first time it happened, and it's a unique scenario when it's a bank holdup for people to get their money. They're not stealing someone's money. So actually, is it stealing or not stealing? Is it an act of violence? This can be debated. But if we are in a country where for 3 years, no serious attempts to address the problem, not even to tell people, okay, we're going to give you your money, maybe in 5 years, maybe in 10 years, this is our plan. Nothing of this happened. People are frustrated. There's many other economic factors that were introduced this summer. The subsidies for the fuel is over now. Inflation rates are very high. Schools are private schools are require you to pay part of the tuitions in U.S. dollars. University will require you to pay part of the tuition or all of it, depending on the university, in fresh U.S. dollars. While the public schools are closed because of the strikes, because the public servants don't want to go to work with these very low salaries. The Lebanese University, which is the public university, it's not clear if it's going to start anytime soon. So the problems, the crisis is escalating in a very high speed, and the frustration is high.
All right.
I will expect to see other forms of people expressing the frustration in the streets.
Hassan, the steps taken by the government so far, are they too little, too late to prevent a total disintegration of the economy?
Thank you for receiving me on this program. Let me reiterate that every time I give an interview, being on Jazeera or any other media, we repeat the same answers. Lebanon issue is not a budget for this year. As you know, the budget that is discussed in the parliament today in September of 2022 is for the 2022 year, which means we are only 3 months away from the end of the year. And it's all a cosmetics of numbers that the government is putting together. Let me remind you, this government is formed like all governments in the last 30 years by parliaments, which is regenerating itself nonstop. And the parliament and the government are made and regenerated by a bunch of 7 or 8 people running the country in a mafia style of 1930 Al Capone type. And our solution is no longer do we do this, do we do that, capital control or bank secrecy. Mm-hmm. What do we do in order to return people? Our problem is a systematic problem. Our problem is a secular, is a sectarian system, which was built after an ugly civil war. And then we thought we will see the light in 1989 during Taif Agreement. The same people who fought the war ruled it after that. So they committed war crimes and then they committed peace crimes. It is unprecedented. This is the only country in the world where the population money is looted by the same people who fought the war and still ruling and still presenting budget. So you ask me, is it too late that we're presenting budget? It's not the budget. It is the system.
Okay.
The system needs to change.
Sami, are you of the same view that it's about time to start looking into the system itself before going in to talk about political reforms? Because if you ask anyone from the IMF, he looks at the charts and he sees the country itself politically paralyzed, a president whose term ends very soon, a country divided along sectarian lines. He doesn't see any way out of this political crisis, and therefore, I don't see any enthusiasm from the international community about stepping forward and helping Lebanon.
Yeah, I mean, definitely the problem is economic. The burden is on the economic side and on the social financial side, but the solution is definitely political. And the fact there is a total blockage at the level of the decision making because of the sectarian conflict on one side, and because the country is exposed to the regional conflict, given the balance of power. And this is putting the whole country in a stalemate. Nothing has been done. We have seen that people are taking it to the street, are invading the bank in order to try to get the right in a kind of a Robin Hood kind of acts. Why? Because the state is failing. The government is failing to deliver justice. The state is failing to deliver solution to their economic problem. Like Waleed was saying, I mean, it has been like more than 2-3 years to the crisis, and nothing has been done. They didn't agree even on an economic plan to address the crisis. And given all of that, the level of frustration is so high. And we're seeing like the people trying to get their own rights with their own hands, unfortunately, because this is against the law. However, I mean, one can understand that, but this is a sign of a failing state. And what is worse, and this, what we've been seeing for the last 3-4 days, mm-hmm. are indicators of a social explosion, in my view. Because okay. the question is, nothing has been addressed, what will come next?
Hassan, I feel like you want to step in.
Yeah, I don't disagree with my colleagues Sami and Waleed. All I'm saying, we don't have to refer always that we are in the middle of the regional conflict. The regional conflict, no question, does affect the fact that we have we are geographically on the border with Israel is correct, and there is an armed struggle against them. But however, we always insist that the corrupt system, the failed state, brings conspiracy on us. Not there is a conspiracy to create a failed state. We are asking, and Sami, being someone who lives in Lebanon, I don't blame him for looking always at a micro rather than a macro, that in the last 2 years, already in the last 2 years, there was nothing done by the government. The government is the criminal, and the government is the judge standing in court to judge a criminal. So they are the criminals and the judge. Those people are incapable of providing reforms to crimes and corruption they created. This is as simple as that. Okay. I mean, we can talk about whether capital control is feasible now or whether if we do IMF plan. Okay, do IMF plan. It gives you $3 billion over 5 years and conditional to blah, blah, blah. But so what? We are in a gap of over $100 billion.
Waleed, when you look at the scenes coming out from Lebanon of the angry people storming into banks such as Saleh Hafez, are we talking about in separated, isolated, individual acts of desperation, or is it something that is likely to morph into a wider protest movement in Lebanon?
I think, given the current circumstances, this is going to, it's a snowball, it's going to grow. People will, day after day, believe more and more that this is the only way to do it. If we go back a bit, we see what have been happening, especially since December. In December, Central Bank issued the resolution 161. Where there's the SIRAPA, which is another price of the dollar. In Lebanon, we have around 6-7 prices of the US dollars. So, which is less than the black market. You can go to the bank and exchange fresh Lebanese pounds for dollars with a rate less than the black market. Then you go sell it to the black market, and the difference is coming from nowhere. The controls are becoming more and more tight. Now, if you have a bank account, you can withdraw from the bank between, depending on your deposits, between 5 to 10 million, maybe 15 as a maximum, millions a month. So you can have something from $150 to around $400 maximum a month, while the inflation rates are very high. So this is, most people will get around less than $200, which is not enough, even from their salaries. We're not talking about from their long-term deposits. So people are suffocating day after day. And I think what's going to happen after the banks reopen on Thursday, they will have more security measures, maybe their front offices will be closed, but back offices, and it's only a matter of time when someone will be more creative to come with a different idea to hold up the bank so that they can get their deposits. So if we don't look at this, the problem as a whole, and try to find the real solutions, we won't expect from the people to do anything less. Mm-hmm. But this is only part, which is the bank's part. But another thing which is becoming more and more seen in Lebanon is acts of violence, people being stopped or stabbed, being robbed of money, going out of cash machines or from exchange offices. The crime rate is increasing. And on the other hand, the security is very loose. The police is paid something like $40, $50 a month, so they don't even want to work. Many are fleeing. So we are in a very serious condition. And on the other hand, on a political level, there's no, actually, this is a caretaking government. Okay. The term of the president is about to end. So we are in a deadlock, and we are more going to a total political vacuum. I think we need to be very smart in getting solutions, maybe outside the system in the coming few weeks.
Sami, if you look at the data by the World Bank, talking about the local currency, which is the lira, which has been depreciated by something like 90%, 80% of the population now lives below the poverty line. We're talking about what was for decades the pride of the Lebanese nation, its middle class, is almost decimated.
Yes, definitely. And this will be very difficult to rebuild, because all the people who have fled this time, they fled with the expectation of no return. Because why? Because for the last 3 years, they tried to change things. They took it to the street. They operated, or they had a very beautiful revolution. All the streets were filled. All the places from the extreme south to the extreme north, from Beirut to the Bekaa, they tried through peaceful means to dislodge this ruling elite. And the result after the election, the establishment found its way to for a comeback. And this is plunging the population into a despair. And this middle class you were talking about has been, it's feeling this, that the grudges, the despair on one side, and it is impoverished, because the average salary today does not exceed $50. A judge in the public administration, his monthly salary does not exceed $300. A soldier in the army, we're talking here about a $50 salary. How you can, with this level of salaries, of earnings, sustain a state? So all the indicators concur to say that it's not only about a falling of the Lebanese state, but a destructuring of the Lebanese society. Okay. So it's more than this important aspect, which is the collapse of the middle class, but it's the destructuring of the Lebanese society.
Hassan, the IMF in particular and the international community said this time we would like to see some genuine financial and economic reform. We don't want to see or hear about any cosmetic reform. And one of the main preconditions by the IMF, they said to the president of the government and to the parliament, we want you to increase taxes, particularly custom taxes. But it seems that the government is afraid to move ahead with this because they're just afraid of a popular backlash. Give us your intake on how should the government deal with this in particular.
Sir, I've spoken personally to some of the delegations of the IMF during their presence in Beirut. And I say it on public TV, and I'm responsible for what I say. Some of the officials of the IMF despise Lebanese officials. They know that they are cheating them, and they know there will be no reform. So increased custom taxes as well is not a magic solution. You take it out of the drawer and you implement it. You increase customs in a normal economy, which is trying to recover. Our problem, apart from the systematic problem I mentioned politically, we have a problem of banking sector. You cannot reignite an economy so that it goes back to normalcy without a proper functioning banking sector. The bank owners are behaving as well as politicians, if not worse, very irresponsibly. As well as the depositors are in denial that they lost their deposit, the bank owners are in denial that they have their banks are bankrupt. Their banks are not able to finance a recovery of the economy because they lack capital and dollars. And we need proper banking in order to reignite the economy. What's the solution? Is that you have to insulate and isolate the current bankers into bad banks, the current politicians into useless politicians, and bring fresh banks in the country with fresh investments so that we can go back to what we call gradually normal economy, and we can reignite whether agriculture, industry, commerce, and the like.
All right.
Unfortunately, those populations and those bankers are so much in power, they will prevent this. So we are in a vicious circle. The IMF will not be able, and they are not convinced that they can do anything.
All right.
What we need is, what we need as a solution, if you ask me, not the IMF, we need that international powers are convinced finally that it is in their national interest, because if they don't consider it's in their national interest to do something, we're going to move very fast into a Somalia situation where there's a failed state for the last 30 or 40 years. Lebanon needs international pressure to insulate and pressure current politicians to step aside and build a state from scratch.
I appreciate if you can give me some very short answers, if you don't mind. Walid, you said earlier you want something outside of the system, an answer or a solution outside of the system. You know that the architecture that prevailed after the civil war was based on this consensus within the key sectarian groups in Lebanon. How can you think about a different architecture?
Basically, if you tried something for actually 30 years and it failed, it's only the stupid will try again, because you'll get using the same methods because you're going to get the same result. I think the post-Civil War political structure or architecture has proven its, it's not working, or it's failure. When we are talking about the banking sector, we're talking about the role of the economic role of Lebanon. These are things that needs to be debated in Lebanon to have a different vision. But there's something very, very important, because you talked about the middle class in Lebanon. I think it's also very remarkable to see that most of the people who are doing the holdups, the banks, are depositors with more than 10,000 or 20,000 few hundred dollars. So these are the middle class are resorting to violence to get back their money.
Walid, in less than 20 seconds, do you think that the Gulf nations will be convinced anytime in the near future to inject cash the way they used to do in the past to balance the sheets for the Lebanese government?
I think, yes, it can be so. But before that, the Iran question has to be solved in a way or another. Today, it's clear that the GCC countries don't want to think about Lebanon because of Hezbollah upper hand in the country, because at the end of the day, he's the power in place controlling all important decisions. And it is at odds with the GCC countries.
Gentlemen, I'm really sorry because we're really running out of time. Sami Nader, Hassan Ahmad, Khalid, Walid, Fakhreddin, I really appreciate your insight. Looking forward to talking to you in the near future about this quite interesting story coming out from Lebanon. And thank you too for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is at AJInsideStory. For me, Hashim Mahabara, and the entire team here in Doha. Bye for now.